Jeff, I have a bone to pick with the IRS.
Yeah?
Yeah. Their hold system on the phone is awful. Like,
it's better than when they put you in a cell and hold you that way.
Well, it's true. Well, here's the problem. I'm actually in the reverse situation. So I hire an accountant to do our taxes, and I missed and or forgot the fact that they pay what we owed this year. So I thought I had to pay it because I try to be a responsible citizen.
Oh, you double paid.
So I double paid. So it's a decent enough money that I'm not like, I don't want to let that be a credit for next year. Like, I would really like to have that back. And so I called and it says, you will be on hold for 15 to 30 minutes. 47 minutes later, someone gets on the phone. They do what they have to do. They're like, okay, well, we're going to transfer you to account management. That's fine. 37 minutes later, the phone cut out.
Oh,
like, they cut me off.
That's the worst.
So that happened like last Friday, I think, Friday afternoon. And I'm like, well, based on that knowledge, I need around 90 minutes of flexible time to be able to make this phone call. So this morning, my daughter had a late drop off. So I'm like, I got on the phone early. I'm on the phone, same deal, 15 to 30 minutes. 47 minutes later, it's like almost like that was timed. They pick up, she does what she has to do. And they won't, I actually asked, they won't make a note in your account. If you get cut off, you have to start over again.
Yeah.
So they're going to transfer me over to accounts management.
They do it
they
again.
They cut me off again.
Oh.
I'm like, guys, I'm trying to have a normal conversation with you. So I'm 3 hours into this process.
Yep, welcome to it.
And I haven't gotten anywhere.
Yeah, you ain't getting your money back.
Yeah, super fun. Anyway.
I got a bone to pick with the IRS.
What's your bone to pick?
they cost me a lot of money.
Oh.
I'm like, my goodness.
Yeah.
If I had my tax money back, I could fix the roads.
Oh, anyway, that's probably not what we should get into today. That is not our mixed messages question of the day. Though,
no taxation without representation.
But we might get some questions.
I was
now.
Just watching King Charles give some of his speech to Congress. So I'm back. I'm back at the American Revolution. Let's have a tea party, Joe.
Wow. Yep, here we are trying to clarify for people. And we're. What should we do? How do we follow Jesus? Throw the tea into the ocean. Okay,
it's the only way to follow Jesus.
That's the only way. Yeah. Well, how about we get started for real? My name is Joe Caruso, and I'm skipping over who we're with based on that last comment. Now, this is Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue, and we're very glad you're here. There is a lot of noise out there, some of it coming from this room at the moment, but it's not always clear what to believe or how to live, and we want to help you sort through the mixed messages all around us and follow the way of Jesus. And so we have a question today. Jeff, we're going to get into this. So our listener had recently engaged one of our previous series that we did, I don't know, about 5 months ago or so. Mm-hmm. And they said it was very, very helpful. That series was called The Enemy's Playbook. And what stood out to them is that spiritual warfare did not look how they would have thought it always did. So you guys talked about things like how the enemy distorts truth or tries to get us to even slightly off course. And even though this is a different perspective for me, Scripture backed all of this. However, at a previous church experience I was a part of, spiritual warfare was something very complicated. Worrying about who might be possessed with a Jezebel spirit, or not making soul ties with people, or not accidentally praying witchcraft prayers, dealing with bitter roots, etc. Most of me says that none of this is in the Scripture and does not seem backed by Scripture. So I'd like to dismiss it and not have that level of spiritual anxiety that these things entail, but I'd like to know if you guys can help me with your thoughts on this and these concepts relating to spiritual warfare. And so, Jeff, there's a whole lot, of course, entangled in there, but like, I think the real boiled-down question is this. Some people have been overly communicated to about spiritual warfare to the point to where everything that's bad or could be bad is either from the devil or demonic forces, or you're accidentally stepping right into the middle of their playground. And so how do we navigate? Like, what actually is this conversation all about, and how do we know if we're accidentally doing some of this?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I really appreciate them asking it, because the church people, I think, can get really weird with this stuff. And there's a bunch of reasons why. sometimes it's because they're looking for a reason. And so the devil made me do it can be kind of a reason that you can put down. Sometimes it's because they're poorly taught. This idea of soul ties, there's a concept out there called soul soaking. Mm. There's all kinds of craziness that is made up. It's rooted in the idea that if I could be more spiritual, I'll be closer to God. And most of it is very false teaching. Some of it is like naive teaching, but there's just a lot of stuff out there. So maybe where I'll just start is like what spiritual warfare is and isn't. So the Bible is very clear, 100% clear, that there is spiritual warfare. There are demons. They are active. Satan is a person. Mm-hmm. He is the one who hates the body of Christ, hates the people of God, hates human beings in general, because the human beings are who Jesus loves the most, and so he hates them. So all of that is very, very true. There is demonic activity, for sure. That demonic activity presents itself sometimes in individuals. And so there are times that you would see an individual acting irrationally, acting wild, and that's actually recorded in the scripture also, and then you can see it live sometimes. Here's the thing, and then I would say, like, what you would see in movies is sometimes reflected of real demonic activity, and oftentimes is sensationalizing demonic activity. The spiritual response that you would see, like in those same movies, rarely reflects the biblical response to spiritual warfare. So the exorcisms and the incantations, and we're going to walk around this person three times and, you know, stand on our head and cast a demon out, that's not in the scripture. So I would just want to start by creating what like real spiritual warfare looks like. And what you want to do is you want to look at Satan himself and understand who he is and what he's like, because that would all flow from him, so mm-hmm. to say. So the Bible says that he is one who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy humanity. So anything that is robbing human beings of justice, robbing them of peace, robbing them of joy, robbing them of life, is satanic in its origin or in its philosophy. Anything that wants to kill, especially, so to say, the innocent. Mm-hmm. And so anything that is terroristic or abortionistic or murderistic, those kind of things, that is the destruction of the innocent. Mm-hmm. For sure. And I would actually say war itself usually is rooted in a satanic philosophy.
Certainly the instigation of it.
The instigation of it, correct. Mm-hmm. So steal, kill, and then destroy. Anything that in life that is designed to destroy what God created. So destroy a marriage, destroy an innocence, destroy mental health, destroy spiritual health, all those kind of things. So where you see theft, robbery, and destruction, you're seeing the work of Satan. So he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. So whenever you see false accusations being labeled, especially at other Christians, you're seeing a direct work. The Bible says Satan is divisive. And I could go on and on and on. So we did do a series called The Enemy's Playbook. It would have been last fall.
Fall of 25.
Yeah, and I would encourage you guys to listen to it, because what I tried to do, I think you and I both taught that one. What we tried to do was we tried to go through and like, this is who the enemy is and this is what he's like. And so you can very much look at the idea of spiritual warfare and look and say, and reverse engineer it and say, where did that come from? Is it satanic or evil in its origin, mm-hmm. or is the thought process that way? And you can absolutely understand this. Where you, I think, have to be careful and thoughtful in this is this. The Bible also says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light.
Yeah.
So he's much less likely to jump out at you and have somebody's head spin around three times and do what the movies do. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that sometimes demonic stuff presents itself that way, mm-hmm. Or similar to that way, and that's even in the scripture, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not that it can't happen; it's that it's not his best play. Mm-hmm. Satan's best play is to present. He's the father of lies, is another one of the ways the Bible describes him, is to tell you a lie that seems like a truth. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. I will be happy if I can do anything I want and I'm responsible to no one. Mm-hmm. That is a lie that seems like a truth,
yep.
And it will lead you to misery. Here's another one. If I can just identify and live in whatever I choose my sexuality identity to be, mm-hmm. hetero, homo, trans, whatever, that I am my sexuality, mm-hmm. that's a lie that seems like the truth, and it's counter to God. Mm-hmm. And it steals, kills, and destroys the soul. Money makes me happy, mm-hmm. so I should give my life to getting it. And Jesus is like, actually, you can gain the world and lose your soul. So it seems like a truth, but when you press into it and press it against God's word, it's actually a vicious and even violent lie. Satan is more likely to show up like that. Mm-hmm. He's more likely to show up as an antichrist, as a false teacher, as one who's giving you everything that you want while taking everything that God wants to give you. So when you start talking about spiritual warfare, you have to remember that. It's not so much like a demon is going to jump out behind the door and yell boo. It's that subtle falsehoods that are antichrist, opposite scripture, are going to lead you astray. So when I think about spiritual warfare, I think about it primarily in those contexts. And so the way that I describe it often is it works like a system and it works like a philosophy. It is universal and timeless. So mm-hmm. the devil plays the same hand again and again and again, just in different ways, mm-hmm. right? So with Adam and Eve, he lied to Adam and Eve, and he said, you would be happier not doing what God wants you to do. Mm-hmm. That's the same lie that shows up in like sexual purity or greed or gossip or whatever, yep. right? Mm-hmm. So you can look at a system. So when a nation, for instance, has a system in which they kill the innocent, that is satanic in its origin. When a family has a structure or culture in which they are divisive and cruel to each other, mm-hmm. that is satanic in origin, and that is classic spiritual warfare. Now, what happens, I think, with some of the examples that were cited by our listener is you get into sensationalism. So soul ties, as an example. That's the idea that I basically made a deal with the devil, and I have tied my soul to another individual or to a demonic influence, and that soul tie is holding me back, and I can't do or be anything different in my life. And I would look and say, as a Christian, I have to deeply disagree with that, because the Bible is clear that when I accept Christ, the old is gone and the new has come, and I have been reborn, mm-hmm. and my soul has been washed whiter than snow. Mm-hmm. So the idea that I'm a Christ follower and my soul is tied to my father's sin or my mother's abandonment or whatever it is, means I'm not a completely new creation.
Right.
And God didn't break the power of sin in my life, and he didn't create a new life within me. And so I understand when you get into churches and teachers and podcasters who harp on these things, how they make that, like, oh, I'm not just saying that. I'm like, but you are. Like, at the very, very core mm-hmm. of what you're saying, you are. And there is no room for that in Scripture, mm-hmm. That somehow my salvation and the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God changing me in life is hindered because of what I did before I was a believer, mm-hmm. right? Now, if you said, I'm not living in the power of the resurrection, I'm like, yeah, you need to think differently. If you said, the abuse of my past affects my present, I'm like, absolutely it does. We need to wash that clean and work that through, and the Holy Spirit will help you to do that. If you said, I am demonically oppressed because of that, I'm like, I can't find it in the book. Mm. If you said, I think demons are attacking and they hate me, I'm like, right. they hate all believers. They hate all people. Mm-hmm. And they are attacking you, but probably more in the way of masquerading as an angel of light. The other one that's kind of out right now is this idea of soul soaking. I'm like, oh my gosh, like who comes up with this stuff? So this is the idea that I can, in essence, lay on the grave or be around a dead saint, and the spirit and the anointing that they had can soak into me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, where are you getting this from? And the false teachers will come up with some weird Bible passage from the Old Testament. I'm like, give me a break. Like the power of the Holy Spirit, Paul says the power of the resurrection is at work within you. Mm-hmm. So what God wants to do in you and through you is unique in that way to you. I don't need to go soak up Billy Graham's soul for God to choose to use me in that way. And I don't need an anointing spilling over on me because I'm anointed by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, spiritually speaking, we don't need to become more like anyone else other than Jesus himself.
That's right. And that's very different than looking and saying, I want to be, you know, I want God to use my life the way, like I model parts of my life after my dad.
Sure.
That's not me soaking his soul. Mm-hmm. That's like he was a great dad. Mm-hmm. and I want my kids to have a great dad.
That's why I model some of my ministry after other pastors I like.
Yeah, I'm going to let you off the hook right there.
I said others too.
Yeah. Joe and I were on this joke for about 10 years, probably, that I would fire him.
Yeah, all the time.
Like, at least 3 times a week, I'd be like, Joe, you're fired. Go so clean regular. Your... But yeah. It was... So we joked about it so much, Joe was like, I hope I never actually get in trouble. I would be laughing the whole time. Like,
Joe, you're fired. Okay. See you tomorrow.
No. But yeah, that kind of stuff, guys, is, I think... false teaching, I don't see the point of it. My Christian life is not to be lived as a defense to the work of the devil. It's to be lived as an offense to the building of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, it's Christ who protects me spiritually, and I'm going to rest in that. If I'm charging full speed ahead, I'm going to assume and trust that God's got my back and my flanks, you know? Mm-hmm. And I do believe in spiritual warfare. Satan hates the church. He hates the believer. He hates everything that God loves. We have to know that. He hates the family. We should pray about that. We should be aware about that. But we should be very aware about the schemes and the structures. Mm-hmm. I'm probably less concerned that your kid does a incantation to work up a witch than I am that they're taught that humanism is reality and that there is no need for God. Because mm-hmm. that's the falsehood that's getting crammed down their throat 24/7.
Yep.
And I don't think you should have a Ouija board. I don't think you should do incantations. I don't think you should... I don't see any value in watching... hyper spiritualistic movies that are wicked and evil. I don't think that stuff's fun or funny. Mm-hmm. I think it's inappropriate because we're to have nothing to do with darkness. Mm-hmm. And so I don't see that at all. I also don't think that people are worshiping the devil at Halloween. I think most people are dressed up like Iron Man and the kids want candy. And I think people worship the devil. Mm-hmm. And so as a Jesus follower, like, we're discerning all of that. We do not have a spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. I do not walk around in fear of demons, and I've encountered them before. Mm-hmm. I do not walk around worried that Satan's out to get me. I mostly walk around frustrated and on guard that he hates my children. Mm-hmm. So I pray for their protection all the time. And I see way more people deceived by worldlyism or humanism than I do by Satanism. Mm-hmm. And those are the most effective lies and tricks.
Yeah. I love a lot of what you're saying.
I love all that I'm saying, yeah. Joe.
Maybe you should be one of those pastors I start to look up to. I don't No, but I love, it's almost like you could summarize a lot of what you're saying, like, don't be so caught up in, like, dodging these invisible threats as much as it's standing firm on, like, the truth of what Jesus is trying to establish in you.
I think if we spent way less time talking about soul-soaking and soul ties and those kind of things, if you spent that same energy trying to help your neighbor not go to hell, mm-hmm. that'd be a big thing. Mm-hmm. If you prayed less about protecting you from demonic attack and prayed way more for your spouse, mm-hmm. or the people you work with, I think you would have a much greater spiritual mm-hmm. harvest out of that. And I want you guys to know, I do believe in spiritual warfare. I do believe in demons. I do believe the devil's an individual, because that's what the scripture tells me. Mm-hmm. I don't disbelieve that stuff.
Right.
But he's a defeated enemy, mm-hmm. and I want to live in the power of the one who is victorious. And I think we can overplay the strength and the effectiveness of the evil one. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a 200-pound mastiff, right? Big old dog, and it's funny. When I have him out walking, his name's Brutus. He may weigh 225 now. He's growing. He's just a growing boy. when I have him out walking, there's a little dog, like, on this little path through our neighborhood that I like to walk with him, that comes and barks at him. You know what he does? Absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't care. You don't bother me. You're not a threat to me. Mm-hmm. You know? Now, if that little dog nipped his heel, he might turn around and bark at it. Mm-hmm. But 98% of the time, he ignores it, mm-hmm. right? And Satan is a defeated enemy. And I walk in the victory of Christ. Mm-hmm. So I am aware of what he's doing. I want to communicate what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I don't lose sleep over it.
Nope.
Because the Lord defeated him. Mm-hmm. And I've been in situations that they're they'll give you goosebumps, you sure. know, cause, but it's, I don't think it's fear. It's more like unfamiliarity. I'm like, whoa, what is this? Something's going on right there. Mm-hmm. I think when you think about, when you see a lot of things that are, like mental illness on the streets, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about like diagnosed stuff, but like you see drug abuse, you see things on the streets, certain homeless people. I think that those things are very descriptive of what demonic activity is mm-hmm. like in the Bible. And so I'm very, very aware of that. And I'm very aware that our bodies can break, our minds can break, our spirit, our emotions can break.
Yeah.
So I would, my view with spiritual warfare is, let it be the reality that it is, mm-hmm. know who Satan is and reverse engineer it, and then be mindful of it. And when and if you have to encounter something directly, encounter it in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Because it's a defeated enemy that, you know, if he nips at your heel, command him to go away in the name of Jesus. The Bible says demons have to flee. Mm-hmm, they have no power
yep.
over that. And the Bible, the scripture is very clear that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Mm-hmm. This is not like Jeff and Joe are spiritual giants. It's we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God, mm-hmm. who fights this fight and handles this war.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible when we get to have that sobering reality that God is the one fighting those battles. It's one of my favorite things about the idea of the armor of God, which obviously directs its attention to all of this, because it's literally called the armor of God. It doesn't say put on your armor and try your best against these attacks. Yeah. It's like, no, put on this armor, the truth, your salvation, your faith, like your understanding of the word of God. That's what goes before you. That's where all the power is, because it's in the actual person of God, not just in your best attempt.
Yeah.
And so, I love the fact that we can confidently walk kind of like your dog Brutus and realize that, yeah, Satan can get our attention. Satan can distract us. He can lie and do all those things. But at the end of the day, the power of God's where it's all at.
Yeah.
It's good. Well, thank you to our listener for submitting this question. And these things are very, very helpful for us to think and pray through, and certainly for more of our listeners as well. If you have questions like this you'd like for us to tackle, you can go over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages and send them our way. And we'd love to hear how these are helping you, so don't be a stranger. Make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find this podcast too. And of course, we would love to see you at Grace this weekend, whether in person or online, if you're looking for a place to jump in and pursue Jesus together. Thanks for jumping in with us today as we continue to see God's voice through all these mixed messages around us. See you next time.